Welcome back, SB Nation DC Podcast, Half Smokes Radio. Scott Jackson, SB Nation DC columnist, as well as ESPN 980. We're with Sam Chamberlain, our senior editor, SB Nation DC. Charlie Walton, SB Nation DC contributor. Our pleasure right now to bring in Patrick Reddington, the blog runner for Federal Baseball, as well as the Nationals editor for SB Nation DC. And I guess, Patrick, like the Nationals themselves, as a Nationals reporter, you're probably happy to have this whole Strasburg thing kind of in the rearview mirror. We can move on at this point.
Yeah, I'm sure we're still going to hear about it if the Nationals do make it to the postseason. And depending on how that turns out, they're going to be judged on their decision throughout the rest of this year, I assume. Probably not the last, but we've been covering it since last August when he first came back and got back on the mound in the majors. And they talked about what they're going to do then and talked about it before spring training again and followed through on their plan. So the fact that so many people are so surprised by what happened and so caught off guard is what's really surprising to me after all that time.
Patrick, over Steven Strasburg's last 20 innings or so, he had a pattern of alternating. He had two bad starts sandwiched around one really quality start. What do the Nationals attribute that to? Do they attribute that to almost sort of a side effect of the recovery from Tommy John, or do they, as Davey Johnson said on Saturday morning, was it really just the media who really just distracted him to such an extent that he couldn't get his head into the game?
And Mike Rizzo kind of chalked it up to the inconsistency you see from starters in their first year back from Tommy John when he was asked on Saturday. And he said they were happy with what they saw, but they saw some of the similar patterns that they'd seen before with Jordan Zimmermann and some of the other pitchers. But when Davey Johnson talked about it, he essentially said that the last few starts, at least, Strasburg was just overwhelmed by everything that was going on. Mentioned that mostly it was because he was kind of upset, not only that he was getting shut down, but that he was thinking in his mind that he was letting down his team. And Davey went so far as to say he was having trouble sleeping the last couple of days. So really, it was apparently weighing heavily on him. And that last start, that just wasn't the same pitcher that we're all used to seeing. You know, he was out of there early and got hit hard when he was in there. If he's tired and is kind of dropping his elbow and starting to elevate his pitches a little, which is one of the things Mike Rizzo said he was watching to see what was happening, he finally kind of gave everyone an explanation for what he was looking for from Strasburg to know when he was done. And I think it was just a combination of all the things that he was getting beat up in the media every day. He had every player that ever pitched a game seemingly getting into an interview and telling him what he should be doing. So I think they just decided it was best overall to just stop it where it was. If they were going to stop him anyway, why go another six innings just to have a circus in New York when they came up here?
How you doing, Patrick? Charles Walton.
Good, sir.
So now that Strasburg is shut down, going forward, what would be your ideal rotation heading towards the playoffs as the playoffs start to draw near here?
You're going to go with Gio Gonzalez, Jordan Zimmermann, Edwin Jackson, and Ross Detweiler, and then have Lennon in your pocket, I think, if they need him. Davey Johnson said he saw Chiming Wong throw recently and was really impressed, but I can't see them giving him the ball in an important game. He's kind of there if you need to eat some innings towards the end, but I think you're going to see Gio, Jordan, Ross Detweiler, and Edwin Jackson taking the bulk of the innings as they go if they get into the postseason. I still don't want to assume that it's a sure thing at this point until they get in there, but I think you're going to have those as the top four with, you know, Gio and Jordan Zimmermann, one and two. I'll put them up against anyone else in the playoffs or the teams that look like they're going to make it.
So are we expecting a Sandy Koufax type of performance in the playoffs from Gio? Or, I mean, Randy Johnson? what do we expect to get here from Gio as the playoffs draw near?
It's hard to say with any of these pitchers because they've never been in that position before. You know, Gio is never anywhere near the playoffs with the A's while he was there. Jordan Zimmermann's never pitched in the postseason, but Gio Gonzalez, more than anyone else, I think has really kind of stepped up his game in the last couple of weeks. Jordan Zimmermann struggled a little. Ross Detweiler and Ejax have been up and down like they kind of have all along, but Gio Gonzalez seems to really be embracing the spotlight, and I think once he's on a national stage and is in a game that he's probably wanted to pitch his whole life, you're going to really see this kid kind of take off more than he has already this year.
Patrick, I want to ask you, Gio Gonzalez, of course, picked up his 19th win on Monday night against the Mets, and that's sort of, now that everyone realized he's one win away from winning 20 games, all of a sudden the Cy Young chatter has sort of picked up down here. What do you think of Gio Gonzalez, Cy Young candidate? What do you make of his resume compared to other pitchers in the National League?
I think he's up there. I have a hard time imagining them giving it to anyone other than R.A. Dickey in New York, just because the whole story with him and the history of the knuckleballers in the major leagues, just kind of all coming together seemingly for him this year to do it, and with the numbers he's put up, he kind of deserves it. But David Johnson clearly stated last night that he thinks there's a difference between doing that on a last-place team, which he was nice enough to point out, and doing it on a first-place team like Gio Gonzalez has done so far this year. And, you know, their numbers are comparable, I'd say. And Johnny Cueto has got to be kind of thrown in there, too. Those are the top three everyone's talking about. But I just think the narrative has been building towards, all right, Dickie getting it this year. And if he has a good couple, you know, starts at ending out the season, that kind of have a hard time believing it's not going to be him, but I think Gio Gonzalez is up there in the conversation for what he's been able to do this year.
Patrick Reddington's with us. He is a federal baseball blog runner, also Nationals editor for SB Nation DC, with us here on SB Nation DC podcast and Half Smokes Radio. Now, as you look at this team moving forward, we talk a lot about the pitching, as we should, because it kind of, you know, it's been the spotlight this year. But since the All-Star break, this has been a very, very good offensive team. I think number one in runs in the National League, in home runs as well. Do you see that trend continuing as they push towards the home stretch here and throughout the playoffs? Is that a trend that can continue?
It sure seems like they're all peaking at right about the right time, if not a little too early with the way they've been hitting the last couple of weeks. But they finally have everyone healthy in the lineup. I think that's what the big difference is. Once Zimmerman got that cortisone shot and turned it around, once Worth came back to the lineup and throw those guys in there with LaRoche and finally Morse back in there and getting back to what he's used to doing, and that's just a tough middle of the lineup for any team to get through. And then when you stretch it out with Desmond and Espinoza, finally Desmond having, you know, another kind of level of breakout year and Espinoza finally turning it around, you just have a really long stretch of good hitters there that you have to get through and put Jason Worth and Bryce Harper on the top of that lineup. And it's just, there's no easy out in the whole lineup, essentially.
Patrick,
you're going to have good hitting pitchers on top of that.
Patrick, I want to ask you, who do you think, because there's not a lot, a really powerful offensive presence on the Nats lineup that jumps out at you when you look at it top to bottom. Who do you think is the most essential person in this lineup? By which, I mean, if you take this person out, the Nats suffer the most. Who is that person who, the sort of the fulcrum of the Washington lineup in your mind?
In my mind, it's Ryan Zimmerman. I think you saw that with the offense at the beginning of the year when he wasn't producing in the three-hole. They were really struggling to score runs, you know, because he was pretty much an automatic out the first half of the year. But since he got that cortisone shot and turned it around, the offense is kind of built all around that. They can move Worth up to the top spot, have Harper number two, and then Zimmerman, you know, with people on base and then getting on base and providing, you know, people behind him with runners on. And it's really made a difference in the lineup. And I think it all kind of hinges right there in the three spot when you have the power after him and on base percentage in front of him.
Now, Patrick, speaking of the Nats pitching staff and how we just said that they lack the postseason experience, what type of performance can we expect from a Bryce Harper going towards the playoffs, seeing as it is his first major league season and it would be his first major league postseason?
I don't know. Have you ever seen anyone who seems to be embracing the spotlight more than Bryce Harper? I think he's going to kind of thrive under this. You know, he's not been playing for it as long as everyone else just simply because of his age, but this is what this kid's been thinking about doing since he was 12 years old. And to get the opportunity to have Davey Johnson believing in you and showing as much faith as he has and he's had in them in the second half, even keeping him in the lineup when he's not hitting well, I think you're going to see this kid, you know, take advantage of the opportunities being given here. And if he can figure out left-handers and keep being as patient as he has at the plate in the last couple of weeks, I think you're going to see a big postseason from Bryce Harper if he gets there.
And final thing with Patrick Reddington here, federal baseball blog runner and the Nationals editor for SB Nation DC. The bullpen, you know, throughout the season, we thought we'd get to the point where Drew Storm would be the closer again. We've never reached that point yet. You know, Tyler Clipper's been so good at it. How do you feel about this bullpen and any potential issues there as we head down the home stretch?
I think Sean Burnett's a big concern right now, and he's been pretty solid in late inning role as a left hander in the last couple of years. And so they get a 100% okay on his elbow that he's been nursing for the last couple of days while he sat out, I think that's a big concern there. But you do, you know, Davey Johnson with his setup as an A and B bullpen, you have Michael Gonzalez there who's a, you know, carbon copy, though a little less successful. And then you got the two closers at the end for, you know, whatever option you need in the eighth and ninth with Drew Storen and Tyler Clippard. And Davey said he's pretty confident in Drew Storen's ability to get both of them out. And same thing with Clippard, he can get right in, left-handers out, so having those two in your pocket when you get to the end of a game and you know how important the bullpen is in the postseason, I think is one of their strengths behind the rotation and probably ahead of the power that the Nationals have in their lineup.
Well, Patrick, appreciate you giving us some time, man, and keep up with the good work on the blog. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, Patrick Reddington with us here on the SB Nation DC podcast, Half Smokes Radio. Big week ahead on the site, obviously, Sam, with the second Redskins game. We've got the Nationals heating up, and sooner or later, I guess, we'll have a decision on hockey, too.
Yeah, Patrick Reddington, I want to point out, also, he writes on the Nationals every Monday. We have a feature of his on SB Nation DC, his latest one. Don't mess with Bryce Harper after the phenomenal weekend Bryce Harper had between the Cubs series and the Marlins series. Made a lot of spectacular plays.
Sure.
He's back. He's back in the groove. Again, we sort of raised the panic flag with the Nationals here
two weeks
ago.
We did.
They were down to four games.
They turned it around.
They've since added 2.5 games to their lead entering Tuesday night. Their magic number for the division is 15 with a series in Atlanta coming up this weekend, so they can knock a whole bunch of games off. They can knock as many as six off that magic number if they sweep. They keep rolling along. They're going to fly under the radar now during football season, but they have got a real shot at this now.
They really do. And tonight's a good matchup as Dickey's on the mound going for win number 19 against Jordan Zimmerman. So that should be fun. Should be a real good one.
Yeah, it was more fun because Jordan Zimmerman looked like Jordan Zimmerman last time out too. So that was helpful as well. Well, thanks to Patrick Reddington, Danny Chifrow for talking Redskins with us. We will be back again with you next week. Sam Chamberlain, thank you. Looking forward to another big week at SB Nation DC. Charles Walton, thank you very much. I'm Scott Jackson saying so long. Till next week, SB Nation DC podcast and Half Smokes Radio. We'll see you then.